come to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a Maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man jumping in on the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Oh, my friends, the food is amazing. Why? Because it's the Big Green Egg, and that's where we are today. The Big Green Egg Retail Center, we are just at the Fat Man of Big Hollywood. And, of course, today, as we do every week, we take you down the road to culinary excellence. And we want to remind you that today is, of course, National Sponge Cake Day. And it is St. Rose of Lima Day, the patron saint of gardeners and florists. Already in the first hour, Chef Red, you did the crab stuffed mushrooms. Let's run through that recipe one more time.
Very
those who missed it.
Very simple. The hang on, sorry, I had to.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Crab stuffed mushrooms, portobello mushroom caps. Pop out the center stem. Take a spoon and gently clean out the gills. Very
nasty.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good culinary word. Nasty. And then once you do that in a separate bowl, mix together your crab meat, and don't go getting the lump. That's not what lump's for. Get specials fine. Even claw meat. Claw meat, I think, for this, probably the best. Mix it in with some cream cheese, Parmesan cheese, a little bit of lemon juice if you want, lots of zesty love rub. Bring all that together, and then just kind of smear it into that mushroom cap. Top it with some good provolone cheese, but I thought of afterwards what even would have been better, Kevin, and what cheese on top would have been better?
Gouda?
No, better than that.
Oh, the horseradish.
There you go. That would have elevated it that much more. Add a little bit of horseradish if you want to. But that horseradish cheddar, I think the smoked Gouda, maybe a little
too
bit
much
too much for the delicacy of that crab.
Gouda itself might have made it too cream. Because with the cream cheese.
Yeah, it's pretty much there. But I think that, you know, even if you want to go crazy and go cheddar.
Now, I got a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Yes. Now, people hear constantly, well, you got to cut against the grain. Cut against the grain. Cut against the grain. Or cut with the grain. When should you do, and how will you know?
When you cut across the grain, let's look at, say, flank steak. Very grainy. Very easy to see. Very simple. The whole nine yards. You want to cut, if you cut with those, it's like pulling on strands, the striation of the muscles. Okay? Very long, very, has a lot of elasticity, so they're going to pull back. So think about chewing on a rubber band, for instance. Okay? It longs out, and then it goes back. So you're going to constantly chew. When you cut across... Exactly. Kind of like the one you take in Dollywood when you go around and around, which is what you and I did. And absolutely, that's a great little trip. So when you cut across that, you're breaking down the muscle fibers and the striations in that, therefore making it more tender to chew. Filet mignon, not a working muscle, therefore doesn't matter how you cut it. A good steak, doesn't matter how you cut it. Skirt steak, same thing. You go to Hal's, you're going
to
lick off the plate. Let me tell
you. You just accidentally drop your fork on the steak and it falls.
Exactly. All you have to do with that is say, cut, and it does it by itself. Absolutely amazing stuff. So, yeah, you want to look at the grain and always try and cut across it. Rarely do you cut with it. Too chewy if you do it. Mike's cutting this across the grain and very visible on London broil because it's kind of a roast.
Oh, man.
Cooked to perfection, of course, because it was on the egg.
Yes.
You can't go wrong. Cooked, you know. And as you look at that, you can see the muscles in it, and it does. You still want a little bit of chew because this is kind of meat it is. This isn't filet mignon. I wouldn't do this to filet mignon, and you know me, probably wouldn't cook filet mignon.
No.
But,
ribeye?
Absolutely phenomenal. But it's got a good flavor to it. Got a little bit of that zing-zang in there. The horseradish is coming out. But as you look at it, you can see where that zing-zang and everything else has permeated into the meat. Because of the power of the culinary prep. You won't get that by Ziploc bagging marination. It'll be
not
good.
And even if you do it 24 hours, you're going to get maybe a 16th of an inch to
at best.
Penetration at best.
Yeah, because this isn't a very susceptible muscle like a filet mignon would be. It's filet mignon. If you put that in the culinary prep, it's smush it. It would go probably an inch in because that muscle's so soft and so tender, it would just suck right in. So this, I think, is a perfect application. Take this, put it on a sandwich. Little sandwich. Kind of like what a real sandwich would be.
Fresh tomatoes right now.
Oh, yeah, some fresh tomatoes. Maybe even like a little tomato and roasted corn salsa to go on top of that meat with that Silver Queen coming off right now. I'm thinking.
What else makes a great salsa this time of year? Fresh peaches.
Yes.
Yes.
Peach salsa.
Available, too.
Yeah. One of my associates has a tree, and we brought you guys some. They're really, really good. And if not, you know what? I'm tired of eating peaches. You know what? Go to chefandthefatman.com. Check out. We did a stuffed peach that we grilled. A little bit of mascarpone and honey. She brought me some figs, too.
Ah.
Oh, amazing. And some of the most beautiful okra I've ever seen. Absolutely amazing. And I'm like, how big is the farm? And they're like, oh, it's like 100 feet by like 20 feet garden. No, it's a farm.
Yeah.
If I got to walk that much, it's kind of a farm.
Definitely.
So, moving on. That's number two. Pineapple upside down cake in the Lodge cast iron skillet of over 100-year-old ancestry.
You might want to take a peek at that. Sorry,
all right,
but
we'll go check a peek at that. I'm going to drop this pasta into some boiling water.
Now,
when do we add the water, Kevin, or the oil? We add the water to boil it.
Yeah, never add the oil.
Why not?
Because it makes everything all slimy.
Okay, but what's the other reason?
Because it makes everything all slimy.
You got to clean it, exactly.
That's right.
How's a good red gravy going to stick to oil pasta? And then when do you add the salt?
I add it towards the end.
Exactly. Right before you drop the pasta in or a little bit before you get ready to pull it out, that's a good time to adjust the seasoning. So we'll sprinkle a little bit of kosher salt in. A little bit of boil over, that's fine. Keep that going because that's a major component. I'm going to go check pineapple upside down cake.
Well, while Chef Fred is checking the pineapple upside down cake, we'll remind you, my friends, of places that we're going to be and people that we're going to see. But before we do that, let's talk about this day in food history. Now, I know this is the part of the show that you all anxiously are waiting for. On this date in 1617, the first one-way streets were established in where?
Venice.
London, England. Venice. 17 one-way streets were created to regulate, as they put it in their local laws, to regulate disorder and rude behavior of carmen, draymen, and others using carts. So see, rude behavior on the highways led to the first one-way streets. So I'm telling you, my friends, I think we could make 285 and 75 one-way. Because there's a ton of rudeness out there. Anyway, in 1813, Alexander Wilson died. Okay?
Oh.
Who was Alexander Wilson? Who?
Flip Wilson's great uncle.
No, you shut. No. In 1813, it'd be like great, great, great uncle.
Okay.
No. He was a Scottish naturalist, ornithologist, and a poet. He was a founder of the always popular, especially among Chef and the Fat Man listeners, of the American Ornithology Group.
What's ornithology?
Birds.
Ah.
Speaking of birds, bad driving on 75, you see a lot of them. Anyway, in 1858, Ten Nights in a Bar Room made its debut, and it was a melodrama about the evils of drink. It opened at the National Theater in New York City, starring Mike Stock.
That's right.
I'm just saying, you know.
Could have.
And then, in 1859, on this date, at the Fifth Avenue Hotel in New York City, what made its debut?
What year?
1859, the Fifth Avenue Hotel in New York City.
Cats.
You know what the address was?
Elevator.
Elevator is correct. Look at Mr. Bushy.
The first
elevator in the American Hotel
by Otis
began operation in 1859. Very good, Mr. Bushy.
Well,
see?
He helped install it. What do you expect?
No, he wrote the software for
That's
it.
Right.
And then, in 1902, Fanny Merritt Farmer. Fanny Farmer. She opened her first what in Boston, Massachusetts on this date in 1902?
First Fanny.
Restaurant.
Nope, Miss Farmer's School of Cookery.
Oh.
And I, you know, she had cast iron that you probably bought for $7 and should have paid more.
That's right.
In 1955, hail fell to what depth at Mount Rushmore, or in Rushmore, Minnesota?
2 feet.
1 foot of hail.
Wow.
1 foot of hail. That's
a little bit of hail.
And then in 2004, the French Parliament passed a bill to combat obesity among French youth on this day in 2004. The bill bans junk food, soft drink vending machines in French schools, requires health warnings, or an alternate tax on snack food and soft drink commercials. The provisions become effective in September 2005. France failed as a country in 2006. No, I'm telling you, this is what's happening to our country. So just beware, my friends. Obesity taxes are coming your way. Fat taxes. Yep, it's coming. If the French did it, your president will do it. No doubt about that. Anyway, my friends, that's what's happened in cooking history today. Pretty exciting stuff.
Good stuff. How'd you like that steak?
Oh, the steak was amazing.
Steak was good. Pineapple upside down cake, Mike, I think we're good.
Pull it. Got him.
Now, the pineapple upside down cake, once again, my friends, it's got all the good things in it. It's got the brown sugar. It's got the pineapple. It's got the cherries. It's got the cake. I mean, this is all done on the egg. And with a little help from Chef Red and the Papa Peppers, they've given you the perfect way to make a cake. Now, when we come back, my friends, we've got pasta carbonara. We've got more food, more fun. And more importantly, we've got an exciting guest coming up. You won't want to miss the mystery guest this week. Chef of the Fat Man, live from the Big Green Egg Retail Center. Well, my friends, the fun and excitement never ends when you're cooking on your Big Green Egg. And Chef Fred, I know this recipe isn't necessarily a Big Green Egg recipe per se.
No.
But it could be, like everything else. You could finish it up and put it out on the egg, let it cook up for a little while and get some nice smoke.
The one we're doing right now?
Yeah.
No, I would add some grilled seafood to it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd add some grilled seafood too.
And that's the nice thing about carbonara. You can have some fun with it. It doesn't limit you to just pancetta.
No, it doesn't. I mean, if you don't like pancetta, you can use bacon by all means. Ham is fine. There's all sorts. You know what? Before we do that, I'm dying to do this. Let's unveil the pineapple upside down cake.
Yes. Let's see if your new technique for flipping. Although you did, you can see Chef Red flip his pasta on YouTube.
YouTube, yes.
That's right. Go to Chef and the Fat Man. Hold on. You're going to have to do it to the side so the camera can catch it.
No,
he's going to try to do the whole thing himself. And we'll have it on film if it doesn't work.
Or if it does.
Tap. And now,
I didn't hear it.
The great moment.
I didn't hear it.
Uh-oh. There it is.
Minus one.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And there you have it, my friends. Another beautiful pineapple upside down cake, which is one of the perfect, whoever created that recipe is deserving of great accolades.
Zoom in on that pretty boy. Not me. Okay, just making sure.
Just the right
color. And look, nothing left in that pan. Well, turn
that around. Now, I would not run my fingers through it as quickly as Chef Fred is.
Taste that.
Oh, man. Delicious, delicious, delicious. And that's what we do here on Chef and the Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs. We take you down the road to culinary journey to excellence each and every week. Today, we are at the Big Green Egg Retail Center. And next week, you will find us at Pigs and Peaches. That is the big, I guess it's the third official Georgia barbecue contest, and we will once again be with Team Barbecue, and we'll have some great recipes. In fact, Chef Fred, one of the recipes we're going to tease him with, we will do the Cajun crackers next week.
The Cajun crackers.
Most unbelievable cracker you will ever eat. Very easy to make, but very, very tasty, and we'll come up with some variations that you can use.
Cool.
And that'll be a great recipe. Then I've got a couple others that I'm going to forward to you that I think could be a lot of fun.
Okay.
At the Big Green Egg. Of course, it'll be Pigs and Peaches at Kennesaw, Georgia. It'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, we'll run up against some new friends and old friends, because one of the great things about this being our third contest, we've gotten to know some of the major players.
You know, I think next year, and I don't know which category we fall into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping homeschooling type things. I'd like to compete in one next year. I know.
Well, I wouldn't want to enter in the professional.
I don't want to embarrass myself.
No, that would be.
You know what? Between me, you, and Stock, we're thinking we're pretty good.
You know what we could do? They have many of the contests have a local, like a amateur barbecue contest.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. You know, where it's for the backyard griller.
Yeah. And
you're not professional.
That is the name of the competition group is Backyard.
Yeah. It's Backyard.
I don't know. Are we? And if you win a championship from Backyard, I think you have to win two. Then you advance to the red or the blue in the pro circuit.
Yeah.
But you have to have won, I think, several.
Yes.
In the backyard grilling competition in order to advance.
It's tough.
It's really tough.
And when you see the pro ranks, especially how tough it's gotten. Huh. I mean, when Myron Mixon has got maybe a 15 to 20% chance, and that's the highest percentage chance you have of winning, when you go out where just 2 or 3 years ago, he had an 80% chance. When he pulled in, most everybody conceded that it was going to be Myron, and then who was going to be reserve.
Exactly. Grand Reserve.
Yeah, Grand Reserve. And now they don't know. I mean, the numbers and the judge. And listen, these judges, especially at Dillard, they were all certified.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
These were absolutely. In fact, we talked to a judge, a KCBS certified judge, and he explained all the things that they go through and the things that they did. And we had it on this show. In fact, you can hear the show coming up. Is it already on the air? I don't know if we have it on iTunes or not yet. I believe.
Should
no.
Be.
Dillard will be
coming up.
But when you hear the Dillard show, you will hear from a KCBS certified judge.
Judge, yeah.
And he's going for his master, which means he has to cook with a crew, a professional crew. But he can't even get to that stage until he hits 30 contests.
He's judged 30 contests?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. And they literally go down the list. And we don't want to give away all the information. But they get a list every year at the beginning of the year. They go down and apply to the contests they want to go to. And they don't get compensated. I mean, they pay their own way. There's no compensation. But, you know, and sometimes they don't get the contest they want.
Well, but they eat good barbecue. I mean,
I'm thinking that's pretty good pay for itself. I mean,
yeah, and some of the places they get to go, like he's been up to Canada, and he's because they've had some KCBS tournaments up in Canada. But anyway, keep an eye on KCBS.com and find out what it's all about, the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And follow Team Barbecue or pick a team and just go to one of the local contests and see if your team's there, and just go hang out with them for a while. They're very friendly.
Well,
they're very good people.
There's locals here. Bobby's first one was in Conyers, wasn't it? That's a KCBS.
Yep. Contest. Just go online and find out where they are near you. And, Chef Red, the pineapple upside-down cake rocked.
I mean, of course you wait until I have my mouth.
No, well, of course.
All the time. All right, moving right along. What are you looking for? A glass of milk?
Absolutely.
I'm thinking not. All right, so we got our pasta cooked to al dente, to the tooth. So let's get our pan going. We're going to make carbonara. Not a hard thing to do. Very simple to do. The thing about it is, the trick, when your eggs go in, you got to start tossing. If not, you're going to end up with
scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs,
and it's going to look like egg pasta. So that's not what we want. So I'm trying to do two things at once.
Well, one thing is most important, Chef Red, when that pineapple upside down cake comes off the egg, you don't want to do it when there are other people present, because it'll never make it to dinner.
No, it won't. It's it goes pretty quickly, but yeah, like I said, can't go wrong with cast iron, and it's one of those things. Fall day, head up to North Georgia, Ella J, circle in the round, or the square in the circle, and get to some of those antique shops, because. Or garage sale or estate sale, because people don't necessarily know what they have. That's when good bargains can be bought. And you kind of got to know what you're looking for.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
So that's that. The London broil's gone.
Yes, just about. I think there's one piece left, and the Papa Peppers has got his hands already on it.
He's claiming that one for his own.
Oh, he's handing it to me. What a nice guy.
I think that's the one that fell on the floor. Nope, no dirt. It's good.
Ah, what the heck. 60-second rules in effect.
So, again, pineapple upside-down cake, very simple cake to make. If you don't have an egg, shame on you, first of all. Second, Christmas is coming. If you don't have one, put it on the list. You know what? if all I got for Christmas was a big green egg, I would not want it for anything else.
No. What else do you need?
Well, next year I'd want some accoutrements to go with it, but, you know, maybe some chips that you could get, some alder chips. Or this is cool because I didn't know this. They set up 6 large eggs, just the bottoms, and they poured chips in there. Maple, cherry, apple, alder, mesquite, and hickory. And it's $5.99 for a big old bag.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix and match. I mean, I've been doing that at home anyway.
Do you know what's great about this London broil?
Everything.
Besides everything. It's got the little zing of the zang. But then in the back of your tongue, mm-hmm. you get a nice subtle flavor of the zesty love rub.
Yeah.
It really, really comes through.
Yep.
And it's subtle, but
just
absolutely.
Slight essence of smoke. None added. No alder or anything added. It's from that natural lump charcoal that we use that you pick that up on. And it's just very, very subtle. But like I said, the essence of that love rub finishes on the back of the tongue. Very, very nice. And again, going back, Christmas is coming up. I know we're talking, you're like, but it's only August. It's the 8th month. We only got 3 to go. And it's going to be over before you start.
That's right.
So.
Now, the carbonara.
Carbonara. Pan's getting nice and warm. We're going to add some diced pancetta. I'm going to swap knives with you, Mike. Pancetta, Canadian. What am I thinking?
Shh.
Italian bacon.
Oh, it's been smoked then.
No, this is pure raw.
Ah, different than bacon, huh?
Yes, no smoke added to this whatsoever. Now, you could, if you wanted to, add a little bit of smoke from the egg, but then you would start the cooking process. But I did find one way to get a little bit of extra smoke without a whole lot of cooking process going on. Freeze the pancetta first.
Okay.
Because then when it's frozen, that smoke starts to permeate in. It combines with the moisture that's in there, and it penetrates a little bit more.
Like the smoke ring that they get from chilled meat on a grill rather than room temperature meat.
Exactly. So we've diced up some pancetta. We're going to go ahead and add that to our pan. And we're going to start rendering that down. And all rendering down means is we're going to start, I hope the smoke detector didn't go off, slowly start rendering out some of the fat that's in there. Which is good, because we're going to cook with that, too. Don't worry. I saw that look of concern in your eye.
You know what? It's starting to smoke up in here, and I hope those smoke detectors don't go off.
I hope not either. I'm not out here. We'll do it over the fan.
Yeah, this could get ugly real quick.
So, just
and wet.
Yeah.
Just to cool that down, just a smidge, let's go ahead and add
I'm serious. It's smoking up in here, guys.
Just a little bit of oil.
Even more smoke. Let's open the door. We're going to have to do something here, guys. Get some air circulating. Mike, would you kick that door open back there up front?
Which one?
When we come back, my friends, we'll find out if Chef Fred has set off the sprinkler systems or not. It's getting close. We're opening the doors. We're manning things. Ah, well, there's always excitement here on Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. When we come back, more food, more fun, more celebration of the good life, taking it to the streets of Tucker, hopefully without the Tucker Fire Department. Chef and the Fat Man, having fun and smoking out. My friends, I promised you a great surprise interview. A mystery guest extraordinaire, as we do almost each and every week. We go out and find the movers and the shakers, the people who have really made a difference in the culinary world, or in festivals, or in eating extravaganzas. So how could we not bring you the latest, greatest update from our favorite event in the Atlanta area? It's Taste of Atlanta, the lady who is the goddess, shall we say, of culinary in Atlanta. It is Dale DeSena. And Dale, oh my goodness, congratulations. Taste of Atlanta, bigger, better, badder than ever. But you have set a real benchmark. Brag on, brag on.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks so much. No, we're very excited about Taste of Atlanta this year. Got a lot of great things happening.
We really, and how about this? 50 restaurants, and it's only June.
You know it. I think that the restaurants are so excited about our new location and our new site that we're going to be on at Tech Square at Spring and Fifth Street. And they recognize that Taste of Atlanta is the event they want to be a part of.
And what's really amazing, this is not, it used to be, you know, you went, you got under the tent out at Macy's. You have come such a long way, darling. I'm telling you what, remember the tents? I mean, I remember one year you lamented that the air conditioning alone for those tents was
a
fortune.
Those were great years, you know.
You
got to remember where we came from. And, you know, we always promised that we were going to be Taste of Atlanta, mm-hmm. all about Atlanta's restaurants. And, you know, the restaurants have truly helped us grow the event and be the showcase food festival for the year.
We're talking to Dale DeSena. She is the CEO, is the formal, I guess, title you would give her. But she's much more than that. She's a great friend. She's a great lady. She's dynamic. If you can't tell by her energy, she's much like our great, great friend, Ann Tunerman, down in New Orleans. I mean, she's the Atlanta. That's why you two have got to one day. I've got to get you two together. Between the two of you, the dynamic energy would shoot lightning bolts into the atmosphere. I mean, you guys are such hard workers. And once again, you know, last year, every year, you keep coming up with stunning guests. And, of course, you have impeccable taste at the emceeing the food stage, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
we're looking forward to it again this year. I mean, you give us the stage, you give us the talent, and what a combination. And we just have a blast. You pack the house. Every person that gets on there seemingly packs the seats. It's amazing.
Well, you know, we really try to bring chefs that we think that people who attend our festival would want to see. And I think that, you know, we are in tune with the people of Atlanta. We talk to the people, and this is their event. And so we want to bring them celebrity chefs that they would like to see.
And you know what's great, my friends? It is October 10th and 11th, Taste of Atlanta. Now, if you want more information, if you want to get all the nitty-gritty details, you must check it weekly, because there's all kinds of exciting new things being announced almost every day. But you go to tasteofatlanta.net, tasteofatlanta.net, all one word. And Dale, I'm telling you what, let's talk about just some of the guests you've had. A good friend of ours is, of course, Ted Allen.
Right.
You've had
right.
Ted Allen there a couple of years. You've had Emeril Lagasse. And last year you had a country superstar. I mean, you just always have special guests that are extraordinary.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that we're looking for people who are not just even a chef in their own right, but, mm-hmm. you know, Trisha Yearwood last year, that was a perfect example of, you know, here, a Grammy winner, country music star, but she had just produced a brand new cookbook with her mom and her sister, and she was so much fun. I mean, I think it was just nice to kind of be inside her kitchen for, you know, 45 minutes to hear how she and her mom and her sister are just like us.
They really are. And, mm-hmm. and her mom, I got to say, though, I was put off, because, quite frankly, they striped my nose with flour last year. And your crack photography crew caught pictures of it. You know, Dale, we must talk about that. But anyway, it was just a blast. And my friends, if you've never been to Taste of Atlanta, it used to be an event you would go and spend 3 or 4 hours. Whoa, that was a number of years ago. I mean, literally, last year, a lot of people were staying at the hotel that was really the hotel right on the grounds, and that was 12.
Well, this year they'll have the opportunity to stay at the Georgia Tech Hotel and Conference Center right there on Spring Street. And we will be offering some special weekend rates, weekend packages, and we're going to announce those very soon.
And I hope, and as soon as you do, we will, of course, give you the airtime to announce them to the 20 countries and 40 states that have emailed us that listen to this show. I mean, this is a regional show. You've won awards from tourism, regional tourism people, because this has become such a mega event.
It has, but you know what? We really try to control the crowd to make sure that our site is big enough, which is, again, why we're moving. I mean, I think that is the total key to the festival this year. We are moving into Midtown. We're taking over Spring Street. It is, you know, a five-lane highway connecting Midtown to downtown. And, you know, we really just want more space so you feel like you're not packed in with all these people, but you have room to really enjoy the festival.
And what's going to be neat by doing this way, you're opening up a lot of the street restaurants and a lot of the street cafes and things are going to be available on top of all the incredible food. So it's going to be a place where you can just stroll. And that's why I'm thinking you have got to spend the whole weekend down there. You cannot, I mean, you can't do it justice. You can't have the maximum amount of fun as you can when you just come down to the Taste of Atlanta, October 10th and 11th. We've already talked to the big guy to make sure we have good weather. Now I've done it.
Me too.
But here's the thing. Even if the weather isn't good, it's still a blast.
It is.
Because there's so much room. You've done such a great job of making it not one of these confined, you know, you're bumping into everybody. The problem is you'll probably bump into people, but it'll be your friends.
Because absolutely.
Everybody that loves food, and mm-hmm. you've got some of the most amazing restaurants already signed up, and it's just a great place to come. And another thing, very, very, very family-oriented.
Right. And again, that is the case. You know, there's lots to do. I mean, there's lots of great restaurants, but there are three cooking stages. We'll have some music cafes. You know, what more could you ask for? Music, food, and lots of activities.
Well, it's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life here on Chef and a Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. Of course, now that we are on iTunes, you can go to iTunes and listen to this show, download it to your iPods, iTouches, whatever you want to download it to, or heck, just fire up your computer, unless you have a computer like mine at home, which I spend hundreds of dollars on and never works. If you have that problem, then go back to your iPod. But all kidding aside, this is the kind of event that you are going to want to tell your friends about, bring people in from out of town, and just make it a weekend of eating adult beverages, incredible food. And it's not only a family event, it's just the culinary event of the year for the Atlanta metro area.
Absolutely.
Now,
we'll be there.
Have you got any surprises for us that you can talk about? Have you got anything that you're maybe working on? You don't have to say. Yeah, I'm not going to put you on the hook. But, you know, you always have goodies. Are you going to hold off on telling us any goodies, or have you got something you can kind of maybe?
I think I'm going to hold off just a little bit.
Well, you know, you got to save something for the next one. It's called Taste of Atlanta. And, of course, Dale DeSena is the CEO. She is the lady who has made it happen. And, by the way, do we get to blow out the candles? There's a lot of them on the cake this year. Eight.
That's right. I mean, 8 years.
Did you ever, when you started this 8 years ago, now we hooked up with you, what was it, about the third year? Was it a second or third year? I know it was at Macy's.
Might have been, I'm not sure. The second year we were at Macy's.
Yep, so I think that's where we hooked up with you first. But, I mean, you've had Morimoto. You've just had, of course, the original.
Sarah Moulton and Rocco Despirito, and, yeah, we've had some great ones.
You really have. I don't know how you do it. Every year I keep wondering, you know, who's going to be the next great guest. But one thing is for certain, the main stage, we will be on there the whole weekend bringing you the best entertainment, bringing you the best chefs, bringing you young chefs, old chefs, young chefs. It doesn't make a difference. All the chefs that are even worth thinking about, and I'm sure you'll load it up with some celebrities, too. You always do. It is Taste of Atlanta, the culinary event of the year. You had the great fortune of hooking up with Dale DeSena today. It's October 10th and 11th. Get your tickets early, my friends. When they go on sale, you better get them. And you go to tasteofatlanta.net, tasteofatlanta.net. And Dale, congratulations. Over 50 restaurants already signed up. It promises to be a behemoth. It's at Technology Square. It's going to be bigger, better than ever. Dale, as always, what a thrill to talk to you and get involved and run your stage and work with the great people that have been so involved and so many people to thank. And next time we'll plug some sponsors and give them a healthy thanks. But great food, great fun, great celebration of the good life. Chef of the Fat Man, hope you enjoyed the wonderful interview with Dale DeSena. More food, more fun, more action from Chef of the Fat Man. Taking it to the streets, baby.
Well, we're getting ready to interview the lieutenant of the
DeKalb County
Tucker,
Fire Department.
Tucker Fire Department. Actually, as he's standing out there, well, I'll tell you, the red lights and blue lights out there, very colorful. Almost looks like Christmas outside the Big Green Egg. Anyway, my friends, just kidding. Nothing happened. We were just making sure. Now, one thing is for certain, Chef Red.
Yes.
Have an arrow.
We teased that the Papa Peppers had a special pepper to introduce to us this week. He brought it to our attention at the beginning, but now I think it appropriate, as we get ready to finish up with the carbonara. Papa, what is this sauce? And it just looks evil.
Well, honestly, it tastes pretty good. As strange as the name is, it's colon cleaner.
Colon cleaner. Now, see, I'm telling you, that's what's on the label. It looks like a hip flask.
It says hot sauce, elixir of capsicum extremis.
Oh, that's capsicum extremis. For those of you who aren't aware of what that means, is extremely hot.
These little flecks.
Yes.
Good, good. Habanero peppers chopped into it.
Or Scottish bonnet.
Or Scotch bonnet.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, what was it like, Papa? Have you?
I've tried it on a couple things. I haven't tried it the last couple weeks.
Yes.
But I have.
Well, Chef Fred.
Well, because it cleaned out my.
Yeah, well, never mind.
I'm begging one for the team. No. Sorry.
It's here you go,
bud.
Yeah.
It's an evil yellow looking.
You know, I think Gary Bushy should try it because he's our special guest today.
Oh, he's going to step up to the plate.
Come
he's going to try.
This is our colon cleanser hot sauce. We'll know in a minute.
And that literally is the name of it.
And he just wolfed it down like nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty good, really.
See, I knew it.
It's really pretty good.
You know what? He would sit there with tears rolling down his eyes and his face turning crimson and go, oh, no big deal. Oop, there we go.
There we go. There are the watering eyes.
As he talks two decibels higher.
His voice goes up two octaves.
That's it. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Papa, for pulling me out of the fire on that one, literally. But anyway, back to the carbonara. And
the pancetta's been cooking down, rendering nicely. Got a good bit of fat in there. That's what we want.
How far do you want to render it down?
Till it's slightly crispy on the outside. That's how I like my carbonara. Small dice. If it's real thin, then shred it. Either way, it's fine. To that, we've got some Parmesan cheese. We're going to crack a couple of eggs and whisk those in, whole eggs, with the Parmesan cheese.
Small, medium, large, or extra large?
Large eggs. That's standard. Yeah, 2 1/3 eggs. Right, Mike?
Yes.
There's always a third of an egg in there somewhere.
That's exactly right.
So we need to whisk this in really good. This is going to create what looks like almost like a lemon curd.
Yes.
So with that being done, we're going to take our pasta that we've cooked, get off the bottom of the pan, toss that back in with the pancetta, turn the heat off. Start tossing this around.
Now, you talked about other options for your carbonara.
You could add some grilled seafood in there, by all means. You could add some mushrooms in there if you so choose.
And see, I think if you were to take one of the egg toppers and put the seafood on that and maybe some mushrooms, you could get some really wonderful smoky flavors to that carbonara.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Or you could take those mushrooms and you could smoke the mushrooms and go that route. So now we're going to add the eggs. And we're going to go ahead and carefully toss this in.
Now, one thing for those of you who do not know what an egg topper is, it is they have an egg topper and a wok topper. An egg topper is a rectangular, almost like a Teflon, but it's not. It's an easy, clean surface,
yep.
And it's rectangular with holes in it. And then they've got a smaller version. The larger version is about the size of a big bread box on the bottom. Then they've got the wok topper, which has the sides at an angle, at about a 45-degree angle, up the sides on all four sides. So you can actually do a little woking action.
Well, it's also great. Those are great for cooking your vegetables in.
Oh, nice.
Whether it's julienne or whole, you know, especially right now, summertime, you've got squash, zucchini, tomatoes, all those things coming in. Perfect for those things to
roast. And we've been doing fruits on them. Any stone fruits?
Yeah, yeah. Peaches, plums, nectarines, sure. Even berries. Whole berries like strawberries. Those would be ideal.
Now, one thing I will tell you is one of the favorite recipes at Casa Jenkins at this time of year is we take the yellow squash, we plank it. Then we toss it in olive oil, garlic, a little cayenne, some red pepper flakes, and then we take it and put it on the wok topper at about 376 to 379.
Exactly.
That's exactly right, and you'd appreciate that. And then we grill them to an almost char on both sides, so they have a little crispness on them. And let me tell you, take those off and just eat those as a side dish.
Yeah.
They're absolutely incredible.
Now, the one thing, too, remember with pancetta, much like prosciutto, very salty. I added no salt to this dish.
Didn't have to.
Fresh cracked pepper, yes. Salt, don't need it. Nice thing is, too, this is big. I like my pancetta to be diced in this pasta carbonara. You can, I've seen it, it's been sliced real thin, and then they shred it almost. Or julienne strip. I like it so you get a big couple bites of that meat, a little bit of saltiness. Again, also, the Parmesan cheese has a lot of salt into it also, so you don't need for any extra salt. Very simple, very easy. It's a great dish. Like I said, you could lend to it some grilled shrimp, grilled lobster, grilled scallops, maybe even a good solid fish like chunks of grouper.
So yes.
I've seen this dish where they really darken, almost, I don't want to say blacken, but close, the pancetta,
mm-hmm.
where it's real, real crispy.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of prefer it less. I mean, just so that there's a little bit of meat.
Yeah. If it's thinner,
too crisp,
then yeah, thanks. It would need to thanks, be, yeah. You got to be a little bit more careful, just like with bacon. You know, I do not like crispy bacon.
No, I don't either.
I like very flimsy, just cooked bacon.
Yep.
And that's about it, so.
One of the things that's most important to remember about these recipes, my friends, is there's two places you can find them. You can find them online, or more easily, you can go to the Big Green Egg Retail Center, and you can get the Chef and the Fat Man Red, White, and Blue Collar Cooking Book, and all the recipes you've heard her today, all of them are right there in that book. So you not only can get it online, but you can get the cookbook, and you will have another 179 recipes on top of the four that we did here today.
Exactly. And the great thing is, too, like you said, you can come to the Big Green Egg Center here in Tucker, and you can pick up the Trinity, the cookbook, Zesty Love Rub once we get it replenished, and Original Love Rub. Not saying there's anything bad about everybody else's, but it's not as good as. Which isn't saying anything bad, is it?
No, oh. Not at all. Because here at the Big Green Egg, everything is happiness.
Well,
everything is joy, peace, and tranquility.
And there's room for competition. I mean, goodness.
There is?
Oh, yes. That's what makes this country great.
Oh, well, thank you there, Doctor.
Dr. Peppers?
Dr. Peppers. That's right.
Competition.
Yes. Always a good thing. And speaking of competitions, we hope next week you'll enjoy listening to Pigs and Peaches in Kennesaw, Georgia. Also, other places you can hang with Chef and the Fat Man coming up. How about this? September 12th, the Atlanta Barbecue Festival at Turner Field. Come out and check it out. There's a big competition going on there. It's going to be free. There's going to be food. And there's a good chance. Right now, there's about a 70-30 that we're going to be there. And if we are, there's a good chance we're going to hook up with Otis Nixon. The famous center fielder for the Atlanta Braves is going to be there. Also, coming up September 18th, which is a Friday, why not take the day off, play a little hooky, and go up to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Join us at Dollywood. There's a good chance we're going to be there. Not to be stopped. Want to check out the Ozark Mountain Egg Fest 2009, Smoking in the Ozarks. We're going to be in Springfield, Missouri. And we're going to join RD and Tammy and everyone, and we're going to be up there egging in the Ozarks. October 8th or 9th and 10th will be a Taste of Atlanta. You will find us at Center Stage. We'll be doing the emceeing for the whole weekend. And October 16th and 17th, well, we'll be here, but most of you won't be because the tickets are already sold out. Eggtoberfest.
No.
Oh, no, that's not right.
That's not nice. That's I'm not going to be here.
Well, you had a choice.
My choice.
No, I didn't.
Well, my friends, it is a sad but true statement. It is time to bring this exciting road to culinary excellence to a close.
I don't want
to
go.
I know, I don't either. But before we do, we want to thank Randy and Jonathan at the Big Green Egg Retail Store, Executive Chef Fred Genovese, the Papa of Peppers for his colon cleanser hot sauce.
Why, thank you.
It was, how should we say it? It was
delightful.
Delightful.
Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
To our producer extraordinaire for keeping us in line and on time, Linda Genovese. To the keeper of the dial, she who must be obeyed, Karen Jenkins. To the keeper of the photo flash. All the way from some parts of where, North Carolina? That's
Raleigh,
it.
North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Gary Bushy. To Michelle Watson of SSK Associates for her hard work and diligence. And believe me, promoting this show is hard work and diligence.
Working with us is hard work and diligence.
Even harder work and diligence. Chef and a Fat Man, a Blue Collar Chef, has been presented by the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking vessel. Hey, you guys are getting better at that, I got to say. And by Culinary Prep, suck it up and get one for the family. And by the Georgia USO, the help that you give to our troops makes their lives a little easier and makes yours a little brighter. And also to the incredible Four Diamond Extraordinaire Hotel, the Monteleone, in the French Quarter of New Orleans. I'm your host, Kevin Jenkins, reminding you, as we do each and every week, to remember our troops and first responders. They are the reason we continue to have the freedoms we enjoy so much. The price of freedom
is never free.
Before we extinguish, you're going to have to work on. You guys are a little off in about a second. Before we extinguish the flames of the mobile kitchens of Chef and a Fat Man, we please remember to remind you to think of our friends in New Orleans. And let's continue the flow of those all-important tourist dollars as the soul of America needs our help. In fact, we will be down there in November as She Who Must Be Obeyed has a professional meeting down there. And it just so happens I have some time off coming at that time. So we'll be down in New Orleans having fun. Till next week, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Listen to us on iTunes. Listen to us on YouTube. You can find us everywhere, Facebook, you name it, we're there. Till next week, everyone, please keep your dials right here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. And remember, love your neighbor like yourself, and you'll be a happy camper. God bless, everyone.